This is Close Up Fort Mill TKK, presented by Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Carmen Miller Realty Group. Live where you love and love where you live. And by Kuster Commercial. Commercial real estate for the Carolinas. Now, live from the Toast Cafe, here is Patty Mercer.
Hello and welcome. Yes, live from Famous Toastery, right at my favorite table. And my guest today, South Carolina House Representative Ray Felder. We are talking, the session is wrapped, and we have just a whole checklist of things that happened and transpired, bringing this up to date. I want to thank you so much for joining me today, right here, Famous Toastery in TKK. And how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Are you getting a little bit of a break?
Yes, it has been nice to be home for a few days. We actually go back into session next week. To try and finalize
stuff.
We have yet to finalize a budget.
Oh, my goodness.
So we will attempt again. So far, the conference committee, I do not think, have reached an agreement. So we're getting down to the wire with the state fiscal year starting July 1.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like that in York County, too. It starts July 1st. So you, of course, serve in the General Assembly of Rock Hill, of South Carolina. And I've noticed that you continue to take on more leadership roles. It's not enough just to be there, but there is opportunities to continue to serve and give back once you are there. So tell me about some of the leadership and roles that you have now added to your plate.
Well, I was elected to serve as first vice chair of House Education and Public Works. So that keeps me incredibly busy because, of course, we deal with all aspects of education, all aspects of transportation, higher education, public works. So it's quite a platter full there. And then I was elected to serve as chair of the South Carolina General Assembly Women's Caucus. And that group is comprised of the 24 women that serve in the General Assembly. And so that has been an exciting two-year tenure. I've enjoyed it very much. We've done a lot of good things by working together across those party lines to actually get some legislation across the goal line.
That's wonderful. Now, has this caucus been in place, or is this a result of some of what we're hearing in the Me Too movement?
Oh, no, this caucus has existed now for 25 years.
We
celebrated our 25th anniversary in 2018. So for 25 years, there have been times when there were only four or five members of this caucus. But currently, we're very proud to have 24 members, which is the highest number we've ever had in the South Carolina General Assembly.
And it seems to be growing.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. Now, first vice chair of the House Education and Public Works Committee, legislation for kindergarten, 12th, higher education. How has the South Carolina Education Lottery, I know this was passed before you took office, but we're seeing some of the reactions to things that were passed a long time ago. Have you seen an impact in terms of how it relates to the budget going forward?
Yeah, I actually do not serve on Ways and Means. That is the committee that actually allocates the money for K through 12 and higher ed and everything else involved in the state budget. I do know that we have worked very, very hard to, or my passion has been to get away from the definition we've used for so long now, the plaintiff districts. If we're going to do funding, we must fund the plaintiff districts.
What is the plaintiff district?
That is a lawsuit from about 25 years ago where some counties got together and actually sued the state of South Carolina.
The corridor of shame.
For the corridor of shame.
So
yes.
It's now plaintiff districts versus the...
Well, that was kind of the word that got tagged to it. I've been very outspoken in that we should not pass legislation and or funding mandates based on a lawsuit that was 25 years ago. I assure you, Berkeley County looks very different today than it did 25 years ago. So we've worked really hard and made some changes where now we use the poverty index, whatever the poverty index is. For instance, last year's budget, it allowed Chester County to have some of that funding because of their poverty level, whereas the original legislation, you would have had to have been part of that plaintiff district when it originally filed the lawsuit. So changes like that, I think, are very positive and moving in the right direction. I did read the article about the funding and the cost of higher education, and that's probably one of the most important things I hear from constituents. Not only the cost of higher education, but the availability to get into the college of their choice. You know, when we have families that have paid South Carolina taxes their entire lives, and their parents dream of their child going to their alma mater, and then the child can't get into that school because all the spaces are full, and then we look at how many out-of-state students that do get accepted, and how many of those students get accepted with waivers of certain fees and tuitions in order for them to come, whether it be academics or athletic. I hear them and I feel their pain, because higher education has gotten, for the average family, it's hard to have a child go through 4 years of college without amassing debt. So one thing we're looking at there is more dual credit opportunities, so that a child in high school can go ahead and start taking college credit courses in high school that transfer over to college, which can save a parent a year or two worth of college tuition.
To know that it's covered while you're in high school.
Yes.
We're seeing a USCL having classes offered within the school of Indianland.
Correct.
So in terms of just added incentive for getting those early credits of college over and done with, free of charge, that's a good deal. That's
something
to think about. I also see that in the budget this year, there is looking at some technical schools, nearly $20 million for technical schools to train students for high skill and well-paying job. From my perspective, kids are looking at their older siblings and they're seeing the stress of college debt that it puts on them. It also places on the family, their mom, their dad, and they're going, I don't want that. And they are looking more towards either going to a less expensive college or a technical school that can provide them a way to learn a skill, a craft, and start making money faster.
Exactly. I think there is a new energy in having our high school graduates to be career ready. When they walk across that stage and get that high school diploma, we want them, if they choose, to be able to have an industry credential with that. So maybe they're already trained for Microsoft. Maybe they're already trained for automotive mechanic, for all this new computer technology and robotics that is throughout our state in manufacturing. When we can give them those skills while they're in high school, then they have an opportunity to come through high school and actually be ready to have a position in life and a career. And that's what we're after.
That is so important, because you're right. We are seeing in technology, a lot of the skills that are happening and required today may change. So it's almost like this newer generation, they develop an attitude of it's going to change and we're going to grow and learn along with it. And on the other side, you've got economic development and companies that we are vying for, that they choose South Carolina to call home. And we've got to show them that we've got a talent pool that can supply their needs.
Exactly. And their needs are not always requiring a four-year college degree.
They need
an advanced automation.
Yes.
So there's a lot of opportunity out there to do more with our high school students, to have them more prepared for the careers that are out there.
I think that's wonderful. Last night's debate, which I want to kind of talk about some of the issues that were discussed last night on stage between McMaster and Warren. But one thing that I know is a really hot topic in the South Carolina, in our state, is the topic of abortion. I noticed that you worked on adoption.
Yes.
And some making it easier to adopt. So I'm just curious, you know, we hear abortion and it gets everybody fired up. We don't hear the word adoption.
We do not.
And come on, there are a lot of families, I would believe, that are just so desperately wanting to be parents. Why are we not talking adoption as a viable solution, or at least incorporating it into the conversation?
Well, in South Carolina, we were very fortunate after 2 years of very hard work to change some of the rules with DSS so that adoption can be easier, so that that child can be placed for a shorter amount of time if adoption is not going to be an option on the table. Children get attached very quickly. When a foster parent picks a baby up at the hospital when it's 3 days old and takes it into their home and helps to stabilize that child, give that child a normal environment to grow up, and realize a lot of these children are addicted when they're born. So these foster families have double the work to do, and it's a difficult process. But when they've had that baby for 18, 24 months,
wow, yeah,
why would adoption not be? I mean, if they qualify through all the foster parenting regulations and applications, why can we not find a way to finalize an adoption in a reasonable length of time so that that child has normalcy?
Well, I'm so happy that you are working towards that, because you're right. The longer they stay, the more attached, and the harder it is to let go, especially if you're letting go and they're moving back to a situation that is not optimum for them.
Right.
Wow. Okay, so this is a good time to take our mid-program break. We're going to come back. More topics of conversation with Representative Ray Felder. Want to learn about opioid abuse prevention, what has been passed in our House to try to prevent that and at least deal with an epidemic that doesn't seem to be going anywhere soon. Not soon enough. Alrighty. Thank you so much. There's more Close Up. Right now, I just want to say thanks to our presenting sponsors who make it possible for Close Up Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 12:30. And, of course, Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Houston Commercial Real Estate from Carolinas. Miller Realty Group. Live where you love and love where you live. And, of course, York Electric Cooperative, our co-sponsor. More Close Up in just a few.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuester Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuester Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
Some things in life are certain. Unfortunately, our health is not one of them. 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer in their life. But Piedmont Medical Center is here to help stop you from becoming a statistic. Mammograms are an effective form of early detection and perhaps the single greatest tool in our fight against breast cancer. So be proactive. Make time for your mammogram today at Piedmont Medical Center. Visit pmcmammo.com. That's pmcmammo.com to schedule an appointment.
Carmen Miller and the Miller Realty Group understand that choosing the right home is just the beginning. Becoming part of a growing community, now that's where life happens. If you're looking for the right home, start with us. Our passion is helping you. Visit homesfortmill.com to see the most recent home listings, and be sure to check out Carmen Miller's Talk of the Town, Carolinas, every Tuesday to discover even more reasons to love the Carolinas. Live where you love and love where you live. Carmen Miller Realty Group, welcome home. homesfortmill.com. Hey, from Famous Toastery in Tiga K. We want to thank you for your loyal patronage, and we're excited to announce that both Indian Land and Rock Hill Famous Toasteries are open and ready to serve you our delicious, always fresh breakfast and lunch, daily specials, and I could go on. You can be sure that each location of Famous Toastery is uniquely designed with the same great culture and experience that we're known for. We'll see you at Famous Toastery, where every server is your server.
On cold winter mornings and hot summer afternoons, we can beat the peak demand for electricity together. This is Mark Howie. Just go online to yorkelectric.net, sign up, and we'll let you know via email, text, or call when the demand is at its highest. All you do is turn off unnecessary lights and think twice before using your dishwasher, washing machine, or clothes dryer, and adjust your thermostat to use a little less heat or air during the beat the peak hours. At York Electric Co-op, we believe if we all cut back on energy use a little, we can make a big difference together.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuester companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuester Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
We're back, and you're listening to Close Up Fort Mill TKK. My guest today is South Carolina House Representative Ray Felder. So you got a lot of emails.
Yes, over the Senate Bill 302, which is the bill that allows students in marching band to use band as a physical education credit. Now, and that's not across the board. The band director will have to incorporate the standards of physical education into the band class in order for it to be acceptable for a physical education credit.
And a lot of, yes, Mr. Dickey, all the band directors in York County and the surrounding area really felt like they would prefer to do that. Because why now? I know that this has been something that has been talked about, maybe voted on before, right now it passed. And there was a reason for that.
There was definitely a reason, I think, because we have worked on this several different times trying to make it happen. But now we have the South Carolina Virtual Charter School, which allows our students to actually take accredited classes online in order to graduate from high school. Some families do this all the way K through 12. But other times it's our high school kids that maybe have an illness or are out and they go online and catch up. Other times it's just the better alternative for the student. But you could take physical education online and get your required PE credit.
And who paid for that?
And so then parents would be paying to take that class online so that their student, who really enjoyed band, who was getting a lot other than the physical activity, they were learning a lot more in that band, it freed up that elective because students only have so many electives that they can take in high school. Well, if you have to take physical education and you try to take band, it's hard to fit everything in.
Absolutely. And there are states, I mean, it's not like we are a pioneer experiment here. There are states within the United States that have been doing this for years.
For years.
Even Tennessee.
Yes. 34 states have already done this. So I do think it's going to help move South Carolina forward. And it's going to help these high school students that are not gifted and talented in the eighth grade, so they don't have the advanced classes coming into high school. It's going to free up another class period that perhaps they will have that exposure early in their high school.
Now, when we talk about schools, we talk about, of course, last night, again, we hear a lot about South Carolina 50th, ranked 50th among schools in the United States. Do you feel that's a fair representation of our education?
Every ranking you listen to is based on different information. The one thing I never understood until I followed this pathway is in South Carolina in the past, we've always required every high school student to take some type of equivalency exam, an SAT, an ACT, this type of thing. Whether or not they had any desire for college, we mandated that they take this exam. And that's how we're ranked, by those numbers. Well, we're then ranking ourselves with states that do not mandate it, and the only high school students that take it are the students that plan to go on to college.
So it's like having a basketball team with everybody can play versus we are going to select our best, most talented top players and seeing how they do.
Exactly.
Naturally, the one with the not-so-talented or everybody, you know, it's going to lower the opportunity of winning.
It's going to actually pull the number down. But we do have a lot more work to do in education. We are making some major changes in education. We are looking at the funding formula to see if perhaps that needs to be completely overhauled, because we have districts like Fort Mill that are so fast-paced, rapidly growing, until we just can't keep up. I mean, we're asking for, the district's asking for the county council to allow us to increase an impact fee to $18,100. Originally, back in the 90s, it was determined that for every rooftop, it was a $5,000 impact to the Fort Mill School. We passed a $2,500 impact fee, and the sky was falling. We were never going to build another house. Oh, it was going to slow down growth. Well, here we are, 2018. Growth has not slowed down. I personally do not think the impact fee will slow down growth. I do not see it as a tax on homeowners. I do think those of us that have lived here and already live here, our property values will continue to escalate, because now you have to compare that. You buy my existing house or you pay an impact fee to build a new house. So I think property values will increase. But our seniors and our residents that are on a fixed income, there is no homestead exemption for school buildings, so they pay that on dollar one. They've seen an increase over the last 10 years, I think hovering around 60-65%.
That's what I've heard.
When you do that to someone on a fixed budget, because I assure you their Social Security has not been adjusted by 60-65%. So we have to do something. And in looking at all the different options that are out there, the state law is very specific about schools and operational money versus school and facility or capital money, like our bonds. Our bonds will let us build schools, but it will not give us money to operate schools. So that operation cost is such a huge void. By having an impact fee, we are trying to work to maintain the high quality of education that we all love and appreciate here in Fort Mill. So I am very confident that our county council has done their homework and that we'll be on board for that. I regret that we will be back in session next week, because I know that will be a very, very interesting meeting, but we're actually being called back into session next week to try and finalize the state budget that begins on July the 1st.
And, of course, you're talking about the public forum on the 27th.
Yes.
At
McKelvey Center in York, which is a different meeting location for county council. So I think it's going to be very important that people that plan to attend understand that it's at the McKelvey Center. I believe that will only seat 250-300 people. I anticipate it to be completely packed. This is a very, probably one of the largest opportunities that our school district has had to fill this void that we've been under. I mean, kudos to our school board. They've done a lot considering the growth they've been faced with to keep that quality where it is. But at some point, it takes more money. It's like the state budget. 10 years ago, we had 4 million people. Today, we have 5 million people. It costs more money.
What are your thoughts regarding last night's debate?
I think both candidates did a great job. I am a McMaster supporter for several different reasons, one being continuity. We have got some major things that we have got to tackle in a short amount of time. One being tax conformity. Now that the federal government has changed their tax codes and their forms, and if we don't update South Carolina, then it is going to be a total mess come filing our 2018 tax returns, because our state tax return comes from your federal tax return adjusted gross income number. If we don't make some changes, it's like a $18 million windfall for South Carolina. The House would like to make those changes and allow South Carolinians to keep that money in their pocket. So there is a dispute between the House and the Senate on that. And hopefully with good leadership in the governor's office, we can have a good conclusion to that in a timely manner, so that for people that do online file their own taxes, those vendors would have an opportunity to get the correct information, to update the computer software, to be prepared for this change. So this is something we should have already done. I am totally embarrassed that we're here in June and it's not done.
Well, one thing about it, hopefully we can get it done, the continuity and the conversation. We didn't get around to talking about opioid abuse prevention, but there are a lot of House bills that have passed the House, and I guess now they're on to the Senate, and we'll see.
The governor signed them.
Awesome. Thank you for all that you do for us and serving our state. Representative Ray Felder, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Close Up Fort Mill TKK presented by Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Schuster Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas, Miller Realty Group, Live Where You Love and Love Where You Live, and of course, Brooke Electric Cooperative, our co-sponsor, providing safe, reliable, affordable, and environmentally responsible electrical power. You can find today's interview on WRHI.com, Facebook, and Twitter. Until next time, keep close. This is Patty Mercer. Bye-bye.